It's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News and Press TV.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Well, the U.S. economy's growth has experienced a major slowdown in the second quarter of 2010 compared to what has been estimated.
Well, this is mostly due to the highest surge in imports in 26 years. The U.S. Commerce Department says gross domestic product grew at a 0.6% annual rate in the April to June period. That's down from an initial estimate of 2.4% last month and much slower than the first quarter's 3.7% pace. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke says the government will consider making another large-scale purchase of securities if the slowing economy deteriorates significantly. But he stopped short of committing to any specific action. The lower estimate for economic growth follows a week of disappointing economic reports.
U.S. automaker Ford is recalling over 570,000 vehicles in the United States and Canada over corrosion concerns. Federal regulators say the recall covers Windstar vans made between 1998 and 2003. Ford is recalling the vehicles because of the possibility that their rear axles can corrode and potentially break after exposure to road salt. In May, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration opened a preliminary investigation into the problem after receiving complaints of rear axle fractures. The safety regulator reported that 96% of all complaints were from cold states, where salt is heavily used to prevent freezing during winter months. Meanwhile, the U.S. birth rate has dropped for the second year in a row.
Experts blame the current recession and economic hardship for leading many Americans to put off having children. A report by the U.S. National Center for Health Statistics shows a drop of more than 2% in births last year. This is a significant turnaround from the 2007 numbers. Right before the recession in 2007, the U.S. had a record-breaking year for fertility. Experts compare the current births decline to what the U.S. experienced back in the 1930s Great Depression and what Japan faced during the 1990s economic crisis. In both instances, financial hardship pushed the birth rate to record lows. Experts say it will take many years to turn around the declining trend.
Well, Muslim American leaders have expressed their concern over hate crimes and violence as a result of Islamophobia in the U.S. A spokesman for the Council on American-Islamic Relations says there has been a storm of Islamophobia in recent weeks. Other officials say both Republicans and Democrats are to blame for the widespread hate speeches against Muslims. New York police says it has recorded 10 hate crimes against Muslims so far this year. On Wednesday, Ahmed Sharif, a 44-year-old Muslim, was attacked by a young boy because of his religion. Meanwhile, anti-Islam activists and groups have joined protests against the construction of a planned mosque near the Ground Zero.
Well, moving on with the world news here on Press TV, the Washington Post says the CIA is making secret payments to government officials in Afghanistan so they will act as CIA informants. In light of this new information, the report has questioned the U.S. claim that it is serious in the fight against corruption in Afghanistan.
Corruption has remained one of Afghanistan's biggest challenges and accounts for loss of billions of dollars of international aid each year. Hamid Karzai's perceived failure to stem the tide has led to direct conflict with the international community, with some making the eradication of corruption a condition of Western support. But now there are reports that accuse the CIA of contributing to the prevalence of corruption in Afghanistan. Washington Post reports that the CIA pays a large number of officials in Afghan President Hamid Karzai's administration to help the agency maintain a source of information within the Afghan government.
I believe that whenever the Western government, the United States, they support corrupt official and other side, how they can put pressure on President Karzai to fight against corruption in Afghanistan.
The paper claimed Mr. Muhammad Zia Salehi, one of a number of high-ranking officials in the Karzai administration, was on the payroll of the Central Intelligence Agency for many years. He was arrested last month by a U.S.-backed anti-corruption task force on charges of soliciting a bribe, but was released short time later after Mr. Karzai intervened. What services he provides for the money to the CIA is not known. Ahmed Wali Karzai, the head of the Provincial Council in Kandahar, has also been accused of ties to Afghanistan's opium trade. He strongly denies all the allegations and says they are malicious and baseless. And some Afghanistan-based sources claim that Karzai's brother, Ahmed Wali Karzai, currently the governor of Kandahar province, is also paid by the CIA. But these reports have further strengthened President Karzai's recent statement in which he blamed the U.S. for much of the corruption that plagues his country.
If the United States do not stop such an illegal action in Afghanistan, the fight against terror, the fight against corruption would not succeed.
Corruption has also turned into the biggest concern for local people. The rampant exchange of bribes and favors has led many people here to lose faith in their government. The UN says ordinary people were forced to pay $2.5 billion in bribes last year, or almost a third of the country's GDP. Most of the bribes were paid to the police, justice system and customs departments that are widely seen as the most corrupt institutions in Afghanistan.
Corruption is believed to be the main concern of people, even ahead of insecurity, but it's not clear how the government is going to tackle this menace. Despite some efforts, many here say in the absence of serious commitment by the Afghan government, as well as the US, to fight corruption, it's hard to believe it will disappear on its own. Faiz Murshid, Press TV, Kabul.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. In the U.S., the highest level of imports in 26 years slows down economic growth. The CIA secretly pays some Afghan officials for classified information. Fidel Castro says released WikiLeaks documents prove bin Laden is a U.S. agent.
Still to come right here on Press TV, we'll tell you how British students are missing out on university places in the face of higher education funding cuts. Stay tuned. Pakistan has launched a crackdown on charities believed to have links with the Taliban in the country's northwest. The government is worried that the Taliban's role in delivering aid to the flood victims could undermine the fight against extremists.
The governor of northern Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province has closed camps set up by charities said to be linked to the militants who have rushed to provide shelter, food and other aid to the victims of the country's devastating floods. This comes as the scale of the disaster has overwhelmed the government agencies and people's anger over the government's failure to provide them with immediate, sufficient relief has been on the rise.
Almost everyone knows that there are certain banned organizations such as Jamaat-ul-Dawah, Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan and few others who are involved in terrorist activities, and any such other organization with whatever name, if found having links with the so-called charities, will be in no way allowed to work and will be arrested.
The UN says more than 17 million people have been affected by the floods and about 1.2 million homes have been destroyed, making 5 million people homeless. But the figures and the sufferings of people continue to rise. Hundreds of thousands of Pakistanis have been ordered to evacuate their homes as floodwaters threaten several cities in the south of the country. And 800,000 people are stranded in areas that can only be reached by air. And the UN has warned of a second wave of deaths from waterborne diseases. This has raised fears that the charities that may be linked to the Taliban can move swiftly to the cut-off areas to fill the vacuum and thus win popular sympathies.
It is generally seen that Pakistan government has got a relaxed sort of attitude towards such organization, and therefore they come up, when you proscribe them, they come up with a different name. And during this current situation, they come up with welfare activities. I think they should be banned once for all.
Meanwhile, U.S. officials had earlier warned that Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan was planning to attack the foreigners taking part in the ongoing relief and rescue operations in the flood-hit areas. One Taliban spokesman told Associated Press that the presence of foreign aid workers was unacceptable. The warning has prompted the UN to review its security measures for its workers in the country, while the World Health Organization says that the likely threat has already affected its efforts to help out millions in need of aid. Analysts believe that crackdown on charities linked to Taliban could lead to an outbreak of violence, which may complicate the relief effort that has already struggled to reach millions in need of emergency assistance. Zahid Hussain, Press TV, Peshawar.
At least two people have been killed in a moderate 5.9 magnitude earthquake in the northeastern Iranian city of Damghan. Local officials said 15 others have also been injured. One of the victims was a four-year-old girl. Three villages have also been damaged by the quake. Rescue operations are underway to pull out the bodies from the rubbles. The quake's epicenter was in Kavir Plains. The tremor happened at midnight local time. Iran's seismological center reports there have been five aftershocks in the area. The center has put the depth of the first tremor at 7 kilometers. The quake was also felt in Tehran.
Many British students are in danger of missing out on a university place this year despite getting record-breaking exam results. Student leaders blame the situation on higher education funding cuts and warn that a whole generation faces a bleak future. Press TV's Roshan Mohammed Saleh has all the details.
When you work hard and get good exam results, perhaps you're entitled to think a place at one of Britain's universities awaits you. But thousands of British students face the prospect of disappointment this year, with simply not enough course places available for them. This despite a year which saw record-breaking results at A-level, the crucial exam students take at the end of secondary school.
A scramble for university places is underway, with 186,000 students chasing a limited amount of places. Student leaders are saying a whole generation of young people face a very uncertain future, and it would be a tragic waste of talent if thousands were left without a university place this year.
The National Union of Students says that with youth unemployment pushing 1 million, the government risks imposing poverty of opportunity on a generation of young adults.
I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day who does a lot of community work, and he was telling me of examples of two students, one from a Afro-Caribbean background and one from a Bengali background, who got the grades. They put a lot of work, a lot of effort in. Once they applied, because they didn't understand the context of all, always giving the right information, they didn't get into university regardless of the amount of work they put in, and they put in so much hard work. And then within that framework, the parents saw it as they failed.
With the UK recovering slowly from a deep recession, there's more demand for university places. But at the same time, higher education, which is part publicly and part privately financed, has been subject to massive funding cuts, leading to fears of permanent scars to individuals and their families, society and the economy. Foreign students, who universities try to attract because they have to pay more for their education, are also putting the system under strain.
Rather than cuts, we should be investing into education, offering places for students with the ambition and ability to be in universities, while countries like USA and France are investing more into higher education. We're cutting the numbers of staff, we're imposing more penalties on universities.
The government says there are more university places than ever before, and already 380,000 applicants have got confirmed places. They say that those who didn't get into university have other good options, including apprenticeships and college places. Roshan Mohammed Saleh, Press TV, London.